This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Good show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you on today. Nationwide, coast to coast, 110 million broadcast homes strong on television. So if you're sitting on your couch, a big, hopefully you're safe and away from all the hurricane noise, depending on where you are across the country. Although we broadcast from San Diego, you might be watching us in Florida somewhere. I get a lot of email from Florida.
Hey, we had a little downpour yesterday, unexpectedly.
We have 90% humidity in San Diego. That never happens unless it's raining in the winter.
A little moisture is what they're doing there. Yeah. It's coming up from the south.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. So great to have you along today. And we're going to be talking to Trey Wasser from a gold company today.
Going gold.
Also, we've been talking about this cat named Brian Ganz, the CEO of a company called Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. I wonder if the Brian and the Byrna are the same letters is mixed up.
Well, that's why I spelled my daughter Brianna's name different, because it looked
like they're related.
Brianna.
What if they're related?
Maybe they're.
But this is very cool. And the guys in this organization, if you look at the videos of this, we were just talking about this. If you're just joining us on
Buff
radio,
dudes.
We were talking to our TV audience. So our radio audience joins us a little bit later. So if you're listening to us in one of the 150 radio stations or Armed Forces Radio across the world, we've been talking to the TV for a few minutes about this company called Byrna. And you can go to Byrna.com, B-Y-R-N-A. And basically, it is a. It's a pistol that shoots gas that protects you. It's the coolest thing ever. But the coolest thing is when you go on YouTube, Russ and I are not tactical looking guys.
Oh no,
we don't look tactical. Don't. We don't act tactical.
I don't even know how to hold a gun.
No, we're like we cut our fingers
like
on
that,
stuff.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever shot a gun?
It hurt. It did, because you're supposed to put it on your shoulder.
And you put it on your chin instead?
Well, I just kind of had, that looks fun. Bam! It just went back into my God. I hated it. And I don't know where the bullet went, because the gun just goes like this. Those things are powerful.
How long ago was that?
Oh, I was 10.
Oh, okay.
I haven't touched one since.
You haven't touched a gun?
I think
gun
I shot a pistol.
I never shot a gun.
I don't like
I'm
it.
A big proponent of concealed carry.
No.
I'm a big proponent of concealed carry.
I'd cut
and
you.
And I've talked on talk radio for years about the fact that we need to have concealed carry, but... Finally, a couple years ago, someone heard me talking on air and offered me an endorsement deal at a shooting range. And it was one of these places you walk into, it looked like the CIA.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all polished stainless steel.
I think you'd make...
And stuff, and you walk in, there's like glass, and there's
yes.
like, you know, and there's, you know, dangerous. And they look, you know, tactical, right?
Right.
The only thing I have tactical is like car keys.
Yeah.
Walk in there and there's like they got these guns laid out there.
Yeah.
I mean, like there's a lot of guns, and the guy
pick one.
And I love when there's a guy that like knows what he's doing. I don't care if he's a Benihana chef or he's telling me how to shoot a rifle.
You don't want to have the guy who's taking your tickets at the Tilt-A-Whirl at the county fair. No. Checking you into a gun
the guy deep frying chicken Charlie's was not the guy at the so I get back there and the guy tells me how to hold the thing.
Yeah, that's
and
important.
And I shot. And I just never was comfortable with it. I mean, I shot the crap out of stuff, too. And I was a good, I was like, like right through the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me a shotgun, aim low because it comes up and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
I shot an automatic rifle. I was thinking, I got too much, that's too much power for me in one hand. I was uncomfortable with the amount of power I had.
Right.
You know?
Same reason I don't drive a bitchin' car.
Brian Ganz is with us. Brian, one of our viewers... contacted one of our producers and said, we got to have you on the air. We don't interview a lot of companies like this, but then we started doing diligence on you and thought, man, this is a really cool company. So welcome, man. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me on.
This is so you are the CEO of this company, and there's plenty of video out there on this thing, but talk about it, because we're talking about it on the base of a couple of knuckleheads that obviously need protection. but talk about the fact that there is a growing demand for stuff like this. I'm the father of two daughters. Russ is the father of two daughters. I want my girls to be safe. This is a perfect opportunity for someone to not have to carry a bullet gun, but that'll do the same sort of damage and get them out of harm's way. Correct?
Wow.
Yeah, I like that, a bullet gun. But I've concealed carried for years. I have a number of handguns. But, you know, as a gun owner, you always ask yourself that question: how willing would you be to use the firearm when confronted with a life or death situation?
Right.
And I think for many gun owners like myself, we're uncertain as to how quick you would pull the trigger, because if you pull that trigger, your life changes forever. Legally, financially, emotionally. On the other hand, if you hesitate, that could be a fatal 1 second. So with the Byrna, with a non-lethal but very, very effective personal security device, I don't feel like I would hesitate.
For our radio audience, because we're, you know, you're on TV and radio at the same time here, and for our TV, for our radio audience, we're watching Brian inside of his car pull out do I call it a weapon or is it a security device? What do you guys call that?
It's definitely a weapon. We call it a personal security device. It's certainly not a gun, but it is very, very effective at stopping somebody.
Wow.
As you've seen if you watch the videos.
So what does it do exactly? You're shooting out gas pellets or something,
gas
right? I read it online.
Ice bullets.
What is exactly coming out of that thing, and how does it work?
We shoot a 68 caliber projectile.
Oh.
And that 68 caliber projectile is either a hard plastic ball, which, if you've seen the videos, hurts like hell.
Yeah, no, I saw. No, that was. You have to admit, you know, I don't want to laugh at anybody, but those are some comical things. But it's also very scary when you see a couple of guys out there shooting each other.
Yeah, we felt like we were filming Jackass.
No, honest to God, you know, that's great. That's exactly funny. What I was watching.
Go ahead.
Russ and I should go out back with the thing.
I don't know.
So, but what is actually coming out of it?
So there's two different rounds that are used for self-defense. One is a hard plastic round that we use for both training and can be used for self-defense. The other is a hollow round that is filled with pepper, pava, which is a synthetic pepper, and CS, tear gas. So you have OC, CS, and pava. And it will incapacitate somebody within a second or two of inhaling the gas.
Yeah, they start coughing immediately and their eyes burn, correct? That's what I saw on YouTube.
Not to mention the welt.
It induces a temporary blindness. So somebody's eyes close almost immediately, which really stops the attacker. Because if they can't see, they can't pursue the attack.
See, what I do is I just pull out a picture of Rusty Nails without a shirt on, which makes people close their eyes automatically immediately.
They're done. They're wrong.
That could be much more effective.
talk about Security Device International as a company. Because the name of the company is Security Device International. By the way, they are publicly traded under the stock symbol SDEV. And obviously, one of your fans or your shareholders or a customer or somebody called us up and wanted us to have you on the air. But obviously, it's a compelling story because there aren't any other options for non-lethal weapons out there that actually work. I mean, there's pepper spray in my daughter's purse. I'm 90% sure the thing is expired. I mean, she's going to go, and nothing's going to come out because it's been in their purse for a long. I mean, the other thing too is you can go to a Taekwondo class or you can go to a Jiu-Jitsu class, but then you got to. I would rather just pull something out. I mean, I would argue, Brian, if you just pull that thing out, you never have to even pull the trigger on.
They're going
to
confuse them,
right?
We've had a number of real life situations already where people have called us and said that they've used it to foil an attack. And in several of them, they never fired the round. They just pulled it out when somebody saw what they were holding. That, you know, discouraged the assailant. So we think that the vast majority of the time, simply the form factor, the fact that it looks like a gun will be sufficient. But if not, then the hard plastic balls certainly get their attention. And if you need to fire more, if you fire the chemical irritant rounds, completely incapacitate somebody.
So very quickly, just real quick, I want to make you get political real quick. This really is the intersection of people that want to modify the Second Amendment and people that want to defend the Second Amendment, because this is really the intersection of both of those things, is it not?
Yeah, this is what we've always said, that I think we live at the intersection between gun owners who are not really anxious to take a life and people that would never own a gun, whether for philosophical reasons or because they have small children at home. And I think both markets are going to be very interested in this type of product.
I got to tell you, I want to have you back. It's interesting. I want to follow the arc of this story as a company because obviously you're in a wholesale retail protection space. You're in so many different spaces, and it's really interesting to sort of follow that whole thing. His name is Brian Ganz. He is the president and CEO of a company called Byrna. Byrna is spelled B-Y-R-N-A. Byrna.com, and you can go on and follow him on Instagram at Byrna Nation. And I would go to the website, Watch the video of him shooting a dummy, and then there's a bit of a jackass-esque feel to it. Yeah,
you know, it looked like the it doesn't flip back as much as guns that are blowing.
You know, I still think if you pull that thing out there,
it's just kind of like smooth. Like
I think if you pull that thing out there. You pull an orange, what looks like a gun.
Yeah,
guy's gonna run. You don't have to. Yeah,
or they're gonna look at it like, what the hell is that?
No, I'll show you.
Ouch! Ouch! Yeah. I can't say.
Yeah, that's it.
I hate you.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. Go check it out, Byrna. All right. Hey, coming up, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh we have Dr. William. Is it William Williams? I have Dr. William Williams is coming up.
One of the greatest names in the.
It is. Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. Stand by. Russ and Sully back in a minute. Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Georgia, I swear I've never seen such a smile. Georgia.
Have you ever seen Bosque Expo?
No, just in a liquor store once up in Redondo Beach. Yeah.
Oh, Bosque is a liquor store in Redondo Beach.
Yep. Mike, I didn't know who he was. My cousin just loves the guy.
I love Bosque. Yeah. I love John Mayer. You don't like John Mayer?
Yeah.
We're going to see him next week.
He's up at Belly Up.
No, he's not. John Mayer.
That's what I thought I read.
Or John Mayall.
Who?
John Mayall is at the Belly Up. John Mayer fills 50,000 seat arenas.
Oh, is that where you're going? That's going to be packed in there, then. Jeez. His name was Marshall Tucker. I don't know. But no, I don't.
Marshall Tucker?
Something with an M. I get a lot of emails, bro.
I know you do.
I got to bleed through.
Flyers flying.
I've only got so many hours in a day, baby.
John, man, that's right. Yeah. All right. Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you along today. We had a guest on the air with us a few weeks back that garnered so much email. And I think it was because of the topic and the company.
Oh, yeah.
The name of the company was Briacell, BRIACELL.com. Briacell.com is the website. And Dr. William Williams has been the president and CEO of Briacell Therapeutics since 2016. He is a biopharma guy, 35 years experience. But this is about breast cancer. And I think that's the reason we got so many people contacting us. They are publicly traded in the States under the stock symbol BCTXF. Mm-hmm. They're also publicly traded up in Canada on the TSX Venture Exchange. But we talked Dr. Williams to come back on the air with us because we had such a good response. Dr. Williams, great to have you. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Sully. It's great to see you.
Hey, you too. So I have to ask you, talk about, because we had so many people contact us after the last time you were on the air. Give us an overview again of what Briacel does and the real problem here, because immunotherapy has revolutionized the treatment of a lot of cancers. Here in San Diego, we're in the cancer treatment capital of the world, it seems like, with UCSD and Sharp and everything else going on here. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So immunotherapy has been huge in the treatment of cancer, especially in the past few years. For many years, scientists have been trying to crack the code of how the cancers evade the immune response. Mm-hmm. And finally, they came upon it, a couple of molecules that basically the cancer uses to put the foot on the brakes of the immune response and really kind of hold down the whole immune response to the cancer. So now we know how to take that foot off those brakes. And that's been helpful in a lot of types of cancer, especially those where there's already an immune response. But the problem is that not all cancers elicit a good immune response. So we're trying to work on that side and to get the immune system to start recognizing the cancer and rejecting it. And then in combination with these other drugs that take the foot off the brakes, there's really a good chance that we can make tremendous progress against cancer in general, especially breast cancer.
And if we talk about what makes Briacel bigger, better, faster, stronger than the what's the real difference? Because I know you're developing a new approach to immunotherapy and the treatment of breast cancer, but there's a difference in what you're doing. Talk about the difference in what you folks are doing.
Right. So the difference in what we're doing is that we're using a targeted approach that's going to just target the cancer. A lot of the immunotherapies that are out there work in a very general way, kind of like carpet bombing, you know, to generate your immune response. But what we're doing is more like a guided missile. We're targeting the immune response just against the cancer. And it's in a way that's very, very potent and induces a very strong immune response to the cancer. So we're really excited about where we're going with this.
The promise of a cancer-free world, it seems to be closer and closer. But then, we lost a good friend at one of our stations here in San Diego this week after a three-year battle. I mean, it seems like, one step forward, two steps back. If you were to take a 50,000-foot view and just overview how we're doing as a world on curing certain cancers, where are we standing? Are we making progress? Are we at a standstill right now? Does it seem like we're going backwards a bit? I realize we have new immunotherapies, but overall in the entire category, how are we doing?
Yeah, I think we're making tremendous progress. The problem is that cancers are very tricky and they know how to mutate to evade certain therapies. So once you have a response to one, then the cancer will shrink, the patient will get better, but then a few cells will hang around and become resistant to that treatment and then go on to cause problems further down the line. So we're slowly working on getting those different evasion techniques worked out so that we can address them with the different cancers. And there's no one magic bullet for multiple cancers because they have multiple different causes. Right. So it is a complex problem, but we're getting smarter and smarter. We're getting better and better treatments. Some cancers that used to be untreatable are now turned basically into either cures or chronic diseases that you can continue to treat, and other ones we're continuing to make headway on.
Hey, by the way, Dr. William Williams is with us. He's the president and CEO of Briacel. Briacel.com is where you can find out more information. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol BCTXF. I want to talk about, as the business goes real quickly, you're probably never going to take this to market. You will partner or collaborate with a pharmaceutical company that will either acquire you or acquire the technology or license it. Isn't that sort of the business of biopharma these days?
Yeah, I think a lot of the great innovations are coming from the small companies because they have the most latitude and the most agility to develop new therapies. Mm-hmm. Whereas the bigger companies and the larger ones tend to be a little bit more bureaucratic. But of course, they've got the products, they're already making a lot of money, and therefore they have a much deeper war chest. So absolutely, that is the model that's happening lately, is that you develop something, you show that it works, and then you partner with a large pharma company to bring it to the market.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, you guys are leading the way there, and I want to invite people to go to Briacel.com. We're going to be following this company a lot closer, and we'll have Dr. Williams on again. Dr. Williams, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and we'll definitely have you back and talk about it. He's sort of our expert. I don't know what's going on with us.
I hope to God they find something before I need it.
What do you mean?
Well, should I, God forbid, come down with some kind of cancer, I want them to just put one shot of me and it's gone.
I think you're coated in plastic. With all the crap you've done in your life since I've known you.
Huh? Look at
you
me.
Know.
Huh?
I've known you since you were like 26. You realize that?
Have you?
Yeah. I've known of you since you were 26.
That's different.
I've known you since you were 36.
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
That's my
all right. It's a Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com.
Let's see if the bug zap is still working.
We're going to talk to Trey Watts when we get back to the break, and we're going to have a little Big Biz Show news. Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
I tell you, I got a request for Trey Wasser to go on a national news show with me.
What?
Fox Business.
Good.
Well, because they saw Trey Wasser, who is the CEO of Ely.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, well, no. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
They saw him talk about gold royalties.
Right.
And now they want him to come on another program. You know, like I haven't even told him that.
And I hear a sample is on the way to our studios. You know, a lot of
a sample gold royalty?
Well, okay. It's like a ring or something. Molar.
Hey, it's the Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you on today. Trey Wasser is with us right now from Ely Gold Royalties. E-L-Y-G-F is their stock symbol. Trey, nice to talk to you, man. Did you hear what I just said about we just got a media request for you?
Sully, I heard that. That's great news.
They like you. Something about what you're talking about, pal. Something about the fact that gold reserves are something that nobody talks about. And now Trey's bringing it up. In fact, as long as we're talking about, what is a gold royalty? Talk about that for a minute.
Good question.
A gold royalty is an interest in a producing gold mine that receives a portion of the revenue right from basically the top line, let's call it. There are a few deductions that get to be made at just the smelter level. But for the most part, it's the gravy right off the top.
Hmm. And it's different than
partial.
It's different than a claim. In what way? Talk about that.
A claim.
Well, the claim is the actual property. The royalty generally runs with the claim, yeah. And the royalty deed just states the percentage of interest, the net smelter's return, if you will, from the production off of those claims.
Now, you guys also have assets too, though. So it's not just you guys are a top-down sort of enterprise-wide solution. Talk about really what you guys do, because you've got a number of royalties that are in a number of places, and of course you have optioned properties, and then you also have properties that are available. Talk about all those.
Well, we focus mainly in Nevada, but we work in their surrounding states, and with producing royalties, we'll pick them up in other jurisdictions. But we have over 70 properties now in Nevada. 33 of those are deeded royalties that are being worked and developed by third parties or being produced by third parties. And then we stake and sell properties. So we really are the true old prospectors, the modern day version. and we will stake the claims for a very low cost. Then we sell those properties and retain a royalty. So we're actually generating royalties, and then we use that cash flow to go out and purchase royalties from third parties.
So and basically, I was explaining this to somebody the other day, Trey, and I basically said a gold royalty company pays money up front to help develop mines, and in return, you get either a percentage of the profits from that mine, or you get to buy a certain amount of gold from that mine. Is that about right? Am I saying that correctly?
That is correct. You pretty much it's an alternative for the mine operator when they're in the development and building stage.
Yeah, it's good for the miner, huh?
It is, because unlike debt, it doesn't have to be paid back in one, one or a few balloon payments. Right. It's paid out over the life of the mine.
And the other thing too, I want to point out is that your business model is safer than investing in a mine directly, because your break-even prices on gold are so low. You're basically getting stuff at a discount, so it's a safer deal than if I were to go invest in a mine myself versus investing in a mine. Is that right?
Well, certainly. We don't carry any of the construction risk or operating risk, except for the fact if there's if the mine shuts down and the revenue stops. But as far as the construction costs and that type of thing, overruns and ballooning operating costs, we don't care if the mine is making a lot of money. We just take our money off the top.
If I look at the last 12 months and I look at gold royalty companies from anywhere from the bulletin boards to the New York Stock Exchange to the S&P, gold royalty companies are actually outperforming gold. So in other words, just in earnings. I'm not talking about stock price. I'm just talking about earnings, and I'm talking about business models. Is this a surprise to you because gold was out of favor for so long?
Well, it is surprising, if you look at the performance over the last 10 years, you're absolutely right. The top three gold royalty companies have handily outperformed gold. But in reality, they've also outperformed the S&P.
And with respect to that, we need to talk about the gold business for a second before I let you out of here today. Because, once again, you were one of the guys, when we first started talking to you, gold was not trading at $1,520 an ounce. Gold was trading in the 1350s and 1400s when we started. And you talked about the fact that, we're here now. And even though the markets are doing good and the economy, we're at maximum employment. We have low interest rates. We've got retailers that are reporting earnings, which gives us a really high grade on our economic report card called the GDP. Mm-hmm. Yet gold is still climbing. That flies in the face of most investor pontificators, because typically gold is a hedge against bad economies, a hedge against inflation, yet we're seeing low inflation and such. How do you describe the fact that gold is on a juggernaut now? Is it just because of the volatility in the stock market, do you think?
Well, I think there's worldwide issues, but the biggest thing that competes with gold is high interest rates.
Sure.
So in this environment where we're at very low interest rates and negative interest rates in a great part of the world, gold becomes an attractive investment alternative again. At high interest rates, since gold, the physical gold, does not pay a dividend and actually has some storage costs, it is not as much in favor. So it's low interest rates around the world. Gold also responds to stock market volatility, which in August we've certainly seen our share. And you also have these things going on around the world in Hong Kong, China in general, in Argentina, where people are trying to convert their local currencies, which are crashing, into the metal. Then you have countries like Russia, who are big buyers of gold because of all the U.S. sanctions. They have stopped buying. Their central bank has completely stopped buying any U.S. treasury.
Hey, Trey, I got one last question for you. Is when we talk about the price of gold per ounce, okay, so and today price gold closed at $1,527,
nice.
Okay? Is that price per ounce, is that, much like the U.S. dollar is the global currency and everything is priced in dollars, U.S. dollars in this world, is the price of gold here the same as the price of gold in Mexico, same as the price of gold in Russia, as you just mentioned, or does it fluctuate within economies?
Hmm.
Oh, it definitely fluctuates within economies it's the difference in the exchange rate on the dollar.
Oh, so, sure. Okay.
For instance, gold is over at an all-time high in Australia because the Australian dollar just hit a 10-year low against the U.S. dollar. So they're getting the benefit of producing in local dollars and paying their workers and doing everything, all their payables in Australian dollars, but then they sell the gold in U.S. dollars and or the equivalent in Australian dollars.
Yeah.
At their currency level, the Australian miners are they're having a field day right now.
Yeah. Trey, thank you so much. Trey Wasser, President and CEO, Ely Gold Royalties.
Wow. Look at all that.
E-L-Y-G-F is their stock symbol here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing good. Really, it's fun. Trey, I'm going to get you in town here in the next couple of weeks, pal. We got lots of stuff to do with this guy. I like him a lot. It is the Big Biz Show. News is next.
What?
I got news for you.
You got news
I got news for you.
Yeah, what I got to do?
Can you go check out the Bug Zapper for you?
Oh, yeah.
Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com.
Oh, wow. Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
Got a bird.
Show, BigBizShow.com. Good to have you along today. Nationwide, coast to coast. Are you doing the robot?
I think I am.
Wes is doing the robot. That's good. Hey, a couple of things going on here on the Big Biz Show. Can we get some news going today? I'll just get some news.
Do-do-do-do. This just in.
Yeah. Got the news. So we have a fashion expert coming on the air with us on Tuesday.
Is it, what's her name from, no. Remember that lady? She recommended the red jacket. Look what happened.
I don't know. Who was that?
It was like Lulu something. She had her own little...
Lulu.
Something.
It was Lulu something.
Shut up.
Have we ever had a guest named Lulu something, Jared?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, the lady, she had the thing.
Don't know her. Don't know who you're talking about. We have news for you. Fashion has gone through a lot. Like, okay, if you remember back, like, what was the most regrettable fashion era of your life? And what were you wearing?
Wow. Wow. So many moments.
Because, I mean, look, you do Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Or Cron Burgundy. And you do Ron Burgundy also. Burgundy. That was a bad time in fashion.
Yeah.
That was a bad time.
Luckily, I wasn't dressing up too much back then, so I was lucky to get away
with it. Like, did you ever wear a leisure suit?
Don't think I went that
Curtis,
far.
Did you ever leisure suit?
Yeah. Wow.
Jared, hey, Danica, did you ever leisure suit? Yeah, that's crap. You had a leisure suit.
I had parachute pants.
I had painter. What are parachute pants?
Look it up. Parachute pants.
I had painter pants.
Yeah, I had those too.
Yeah.
Painter shorts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, a new survey asked people what fashion trends should disappear and never ever return. Okay. And the top answer, by the way, was the mullet. 43% of us would be happy if it never came back in style.
Let's mullet over.
The number seven fashion is wearing a skirt over pants.
That's weird.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
That's a New York thing, isn't it?
Thing. Okay. Yeah, I'd be freezing.
My parents do this next one.
Oh, boy.
What do you think they do? What do you think my parents do? What do you think my old parents do, fashion-wise?
Fashion-wise?
That would be just cringeworthy.
They're always
dressing alike.
Oh, that's wrong.
Mom dresses.
I leave when someone's dressed similar.
And when they go to Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's they go to
that
Hawaiian.
What is the name of that place that they go to? There's a store
the
there.
Oh yeah,
it's the store.
The big Kahuna.
The store you get like
Kahuna Mart.
No, you get. But it is Kahuna Mart, but you can get stuff for the whole family. You get the mom, dad, kids. The whole,
oh, yes.
It's called,
I've seen that.
Hilo Hatties.
Wow, look at you.
So nice my parents.
Because you went in there and did that once, did you?
My parents.
You, your wife, the kids, the girls, all the big
parents could have went to go.
I might do that. Now I want to. I just changed my computer.
I want the whole crew to dress like us.
I'm going over there in a couple weeks, so.
Are you really?
Sorry.
What?
Forgot to tell.
You're going to Hawaii.
I always like announcing my vacation.
You're going to Hawaii in a couple weeks.
No. Maui.
When are you going to Maui?
For my friend's birthday.
You're the worst liar.
It is, though. The birthday's on the 20th. We'll be there.
7th. The number five. Who is it? I know him.
Nina.
Yeah, Nina's birthday.
Yes.
I didn't get invited to that deal either. Well, yeah. Crocs. Remember when Terry Rahan wore dress Crocs?
By the way.
Those are like dress Crocs.
These are. These are Sanuks. Sanuk. But they're backless now.
Oh, because you step on them anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Bring them back.
Just one of my,
those
anyway.
Are called mules, by the way.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Velour tracksuits. Velour tracksuits are kind of coming back, though. Aren't they?
No. Yes, Bob.
No, but not for me. But
see you Friday.
No, I'm never... I will never wear
the brig. Show up. It's velour tracksuit.
A rust. Yeah. I will never wear, and I've never had a velour tracksuit. No. But I'm seeing them around.
I like velour.
Rap
though.
Videos. You know, the country western videos. I've seen a number of velour.
I can't wear gold.
Like a velour tracksuit with a white.
You got to have a gold. You know, with a wife beater?
Yeah. Not sure you can say that anymore.
Oh.
How about white A frame t shirt?
There you go.
There you go.
Even Italian.
How about 80 style?
Yeah.
Puff balls. Here, I don't know what that is.
Puff balls?
Yeah, don't know what that is. Anyway, survey sound. The 70s, the most iconic fashion decade in the past 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
80s came in second.
I'm digging the bell bottoms. I always like bell bottoms.
Flares. Flares are different.
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever have those angel flights?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, you had angel.
Oh, yeah.
You know what angel flights are, Jared?
Yeah, baby.
They were skin tight polyester slacks with a flare, and they came up to about here.
About here.
Look up angels flight.
But it really highlighted the tool belt.
By the way, it's angels flight.
Is it angels?
It's angels flight, right. And it's by Levi's.
And I had the
look them up, Jared. Pull
the
it up.
Jordache jeans. I had.
Oh yeah, Jordache. Feel the fit.
I had the knit tie, like.
Oh yeah, sure. Like
what's his
Seinfeld.
Name?
Seinfeld.
No, who had that?
Who had the knit tie? Did some guy on TV had knit tie? Mr. Cotter?
No,
it was somebody on TV.
Richard Gere had it in
Goodbye Girl.
No, the first one where he was.
That was the first.
The Gigolo.
One.
The Gigolo.
Oh, that's right. Oh, American Gigolo. That's right.
Yes.
The knit tie.
Yes.
That's right. And the inversion boots.
And the Shaw College. I went out and bought everything he had in the movie.
Did you really?
Yeah, at Goodwill.
Did you really?
No, but I did. Huh? And then I thought that guy. If that guy can do it. I could be a gigolo. Oh, didn't work out so much.
All right. In other news, General Mills posting up fantastic earnings, as is Campbell's Soup. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah, Campbell's Soup and General Mills both doing great. So, which begs to ask the question, which type of cereal, Curtis, leaves behind the best milk? This is a survey they did in Wall Street Journal.
Cocoa Krispies.
People who drink their cereal milk have spoken.
Cocoa Puffs.
Here are the winners.
Krispies.
Number one, Cocoa Puffs by a lot.
Thank you.
Right?
So love it. It's like chocolate milk.
But you know what? I think Lucky Charms are right up there. Wow.
No. Those are weird. Sometimes the marshmallows squeak on my teeth. It's
what about
weird.
Apple Jacks?
I don't like. They're not marshmallows.
What about
they're
Apple
like hard marshmallow.
Did
hard
you look up Angel's Flight?
What are they?
Show us. Bust it out.
What'd you ask me? Before?
Bust out the Angel Flights.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. And as you
see, that's a leisure suit from Lee. That's not Angel's Flight.
No, that's close.
That's a leisure suit. But the Angel Flight was different.
Yeah, but the pant was similar.
There was another pair of pants they called Cheeks, by the way.
We can't know.
Angel's Flight. Look it up. I want to see it.
We can't dress like that in San Diego because you have to layer.
In order, Cocoa Puffs is the number one
cereal.
Milk. Cereal
right.
Left behind milk drinker
Got
thing.
It. That we. Yeah. Lucky Charms didn't make it, did it?
Yeah, the top eight. Yeah, Cap'n Crunch, number seven. How many times have you tore
too.
Up the roof of your mouth with
first
some Crunch Berries?
First 5 bites. You have to sit there.
You
have to be patient.
You realize that, by the way, you realize it's your mouth, the skin on the top of your mouth grows faster than any other skin in your body, so it heals faster.
Wow.
So you can get Apple Jacks. I mean, you can have Cap'n Crunch every morning.
Yeah,
there you go. All right. Frosted Flakes is number three. Fruity Pebbles, number four. Reese's Puffs.
I've never even done a Reese's
that sounds like a, that sounds like a strain of weed.
I think it is. Sugar cookie, yeah.
All right, very good. Big Miss Show. Are we out of time?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, there we go. Right.
By the way, livehighlive.com. You'll find more funny names of cannabis.
All right. Chris Yannick is our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Banneker.
Choopy, choopy.
Our floor director. Our floor cameraman.
You're
our
right.
editor. Our composer. Our keeper from keeper of keys. And from whom all blessings flow. RussIsFunny.com because...
RussIsFatAndBald.com was taken.
There you go. There. That's... Oh, boy.
There's your velour tracksuit.
There she goes. That's nice.
Look up, kid.
Sully Speaks is everywhere. Watch out! See you tomorrow.